Hey everyone, this is Adam Ellenboss from Nightlight Astrology. Happy Monday, everybody. Today we are going to take a look at Venus's entrance into the sign of Virgo and why this is a big deal and a little bit of a hard transition for Venus. We've been through a long period of Venus in the sign of Leo with a long retrograde, the square to Jupiter with some reception, multiple squares to Uranus. That was all Leo territory. Venus entering Virgo is interesting because Venus is now in the sign of her fall. Venus has mutual reception with Mercury. Though Mercury is going through some hard times, Venus hosts both of the next eclipses. Venus is immediately opposing Saturn as she enters this week. So there's a lot to talk about with the transition that Venus is making. That's going to be our focus for today. We'll tell you why it's a difficult transition and also why it might be a good thing, what there is to look forward to about it. That's our goal for today. As always, before we get into it, don't forget to like and subscribe. When you guys share your comments and reflections, you like, you subscribe, it really helps the channel to grow. I super appreciate that. You can find transcripts of any of my daily talks on the website, which is nightlightastrology.com. Now, I'm really excited right now to be promoting some work from Astrology Hub here at the end of the year. I'll be doing some promotional work for them over the course of the last months of 2023. So you'll see usually like a promo spot per week. They have an event coming up that I have actually participated in before, and I think it's a pretty cool event. It is the 8th Annual Astrology Forecast event. You can find the link here on the page. It's a bit long, so you can also find it in the description of this video or in the comment section of this video. If you want to claim a seat, it is free. And you can hear from a variety of different astrologers on all of the major transits of 2024. It's a really cool event that gives you some sense of what's going to happen in the year ahead. You can see some of the great teachers that they have on board. And I've participated in this one before and have watched it on multiple occasions because it's always nice to see what other astrologers are talking about as the biggest astrological transits of the year ahead. So a free event, be sure to check it out. You can find it in the description of this video or in the comments section. I hope you will go check out everything that Astrology Hub has going on. You guys know I promote their readings and services, and I've participated as a guide in their moon circles. So I think very highly of what they're up to, especially the way in which they support a lot of professional developing astrologers, which I've been really thankful for in the past as well. So the other thing going on, of course, is we are in promotional mode for my new course, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic, which begins on November 18th. If you go to the courses page, click on the first year program, scroll down, you can learn more about what's included in the curriculum of the program. It is a class in ancient Hellenistic astrology with a modern archetypal and psychological twist, you might say. I have the influences of both schools in really in the way that I practice and think about astrology. And so the program really includes both. But what's really cool about this program is that you're starting from the ancient roots of astrology spiritually, philosophically, technically, and you're learning about the why. Why do we do all of these things? Where do they come from? Why did they ever come about in the first place? With that kind of knowledge, most people find that they have a deeper kind of intuitive and artistic ability to work with the symbols of our language. And that in turn leads to greater innovation and flexibility in the way that you approach charts. You'll find that your own natural intuition is more easily accessed the more that you understand why everything, where and why everything is the way that it is in terms of the language and craft of astrology, where it all comes from. So anyway, that's really the hallmark of this program and why people end up loving it so much. At the end of this course, we have a whole section of the program that's devoted to working with live clients and practicing with charts. So we don't just study theory in the last portion of the class, we actually work with real people, and you'll get to see what a real reading looks like in multiple settings, multiple different kinds of setups that we use. And then we have practice sessions with live clients with charts that people bring in and that we work with to practice everything we've been learning. There's also breakout study sessions with tutors. There's an interactive group forum discussion, staff with tutors. So lots of support in and outside of class, tons of bonus material and guided homework and quizzes and reading and so forth. The 30 classes online are in webinars. They are held live, but you can attend remotely and go at your own pace because everything's recorded and hosted on a class website, which you can either watch things on or download things from. At the bottom of the page, you will find the enrollment options. Early bird saves you $500 off. There is a payment plan that allows you to spread out the tuition payments over 12 monthly installments, which a lot of people like to use. And then we also have the need-based tuition option. That is there for people who really want to study astrology but need a little help to make the price point work within your budget. We don't want people, we trust that people who can pay the normal tuition will. If you look at your budget, you go, I can do that. And then people who are like, I really want to do this, but I will be in trouble if I don't have a slightly different price point that matches my budget. Maybe you're a single parent, maybe you're only working part-time, or you're between jobs, or you're on a really fixed income for one reason or another. If you need tuition assistance, please do take advantage of it. We still have spots open for people to use. And we're very proud to make sure that astrology is accessible for people of all income ranges. So if that is you, please do take advantage of it. If you have any questions about our program or any of the funding options, email us info@nightlightastrology.com. Okay, well, it is on to Venus today. And I have to say that this is a little bit of a rough transition from Venus after leaving Leo and entering Virgo. It's a little tumultuous for Venus, and we'll see why. There are bright spots and things to look forward to and lessons to be learned and lots of positives to take away. But I also need to be honest and describe why this is a bit of a rough transition for Venus. So let's do that by first showing us what's happening. So this is Monday, October 9th, and Venus has entered Virgo. Whoa, there's the big arrow came out. So Venus is opposing Saturn as she immediately enters Virgo and is in the sign of her fall or depression. That does not mean that there is nothing good that comes from Venus in Virgo, or there aren't very positive and optimistic ways of looking at Venus in Virgo. It merely represents a harder archetypal tension that comes when you place Venus into the domicile and exaltation earthy place of Mercury. That tension is one that is also difficult for Mercury when you put Mercury in Venus's exaltation of Pisces, where Mercury is then in Mercury's depression or fall. And the tension between the two was explained by an ancient text by Rhetorius, who may have been presenting another text by someone named Antiochus. But at any rate, the text says something along these lines. Why is it difficult for Venus in Virgo and Mercury in Pisces, each other's exaltations? It's because Venus has a hard time with the rational and the mental and likes to be sensual, whereas Mercury has a harder time with the sensual and emotional and would prefer being rational. Now, that's not the only thing that there is to Venus and Mercury, and there are clear ways in which Venus and Mercury can present as synthesized, harmonizing planets, okay? But the ancient language of dignities is also getting at certain fundamental tensions that exist when you take one planet and put it in the home of another planet. Venus has a harder time in Virgo because Venus's natural state is less sort of rational and earthy and meticulous and practical. Venus is more sensual, imaginative. Venus is more artistic and flowy, just putting it, kind of generically like that. And so Venus in Virgo can sometimes struggle to do and be like Venus because Venus finds herself contending with some of the earthy mercurial tendencies of Virgo. So just kind of think about it like that. It doesn't mean that all is lost, that nothing good comes of this or whatever. It just means that those tensions are present and can be a little challenging for Venus. So not only that, but Venus is now immediately in an opposition with Saturn, which will be perfecting October 9th into the 10th. So if we just go forward a day, you'll see that by tomorrow, October 10th, Venus has passed over the opposition and is, already getting over maybe the hardest aspect that Venus will have while in Virgo, which will be the opposition to Saturn that happens right away. So a hard transition for Venus as she enters Virgo, boom, right away, an opposition to Saturn with a kind of a challenging dignity spot that's taking place. It's also just a difficult transition because when you have Venus in the sign of like a Leo in this case for such a long period of time, dating all the way back to the early summer, and then all of a sudden she transitions and moves into a sign where the dignity, the archetypal tension is higher and more complicated. Well, that can be a little jarring to us because we're sort of used to being in Venus and Leo land. I think there are some things that make this a really interesting transit that I think everyone should be aware of. Venus into Virgo, opposite Saturn, five things that we should pay attention to about this Venus transition overall. Number one is Venus moves into her fall. And I already just mentioned that and kind of what it means. We have great examples of Venus in Virgo that, you know, for example, Martha Stewart, Venus in Virgo. You know, I think Martha Stewart is a great example of Venus in Virgo. And so far as she's this very meticulous, earthy craftswoman. Okay, I'm not saying I'm necessarily a big fan of like Martha Stewart's style or whatever. You know, what's interesting in her chart is she has Venus in her fall in the 11th house, just like this chart, with Venus ruling the 12th place, which is a place of imprisonment, the 11th being a place of friends and allies. And she took insider trading advice from a friend and went to prison. So Venus can, in Venus's rulerships and Venus's dignity, Venus can tell a story about, like, the dignity can be a way of saying that there will be a very literal way in which you fall on hard times, or there's some really, you know, unfortunate or challenging event or something like this. So in Martha Stewart's chart, you actually have Venus in the 11th, just like you see it in this chart, ruling the 12th, takes bad advice from a friend and goes to prison. I mean, bad advice, you know what I mean, insider trading advice. So you can always read, oops, hold on, my doggy's trying to get in. Okay, Hilda was clawing at the door and is now finding her way to, she just did not like being apart. So here we are. Okay, so as I was saying, there can be this very specific way in which Venus in Virgo will show up in a chart with its dignity signifying difficult events in a lifetime. But on an archetypal level, I don't think that Venus in Virgo is anything to be afraid of. Like, she'll show up in very diverse ways. In Martha Stewart's life, she has the all the signs of the kind of art and craft ability that make Martha Stewart really remarkable. And then there's this other way in which she can represent these very challenging events that happen in a person's lifetime, Martha Stewart going to prison being one of them. So at any rate, just to give you a little example of how that works, the second thing here to notice is that as soon as Venus enters into the sign of Virgo, she's now in a mutual reception, albeit an aversion, meaning there's no aspectual connection with Mercury, but they are in each other's signs. Oops, you know what? I'm going to actually, sorry, big arrow. It's like big dog, big arrow. Okay, so there you can see the two planets are in a mutual reception. Venus is in Mercury's sign and Mercury is in Venus's sign. Now, they don't have an aspect to one another, but despite that, there is a way in which the two planets can harmonize and work on each other's behalf by virtue of being in each other's signs. So that's actually a good thing that kind of lightens the load a little bit. However, Mercury is currently in a state of combustion, meaning the close proximity to the sun is making things a little difficult for Mercury. So Mercury will go through this transformation as it goes through the heart of the sun. And you can see that this transformation is not going to fully perfect until late in October. So Mercury crosses the heart of the sun between the 19th and 20th, at which point, what's really interesting is that right at about the same time, Venus will end up going through the trine to Jupiter. I'm going to come back to that in a minute, but the point is that the mutual reception between the two planets, although it's a positive thing, in some ways is a little mixed because the two planets don't see one another by aspect, and also because Venus is debilitated, and also because Mercury is accidentally debilitated as Mercury is going through combustion, and the Kazemi moment doesn't come until much later in the month. And so it's like, it's just such a mixed bag for Venus this month of October. If you look, the other thing that happens is that we have some eclipses. So on the 14th, we have a solar eclipse in the sign of Libra. Venus hosts that with the mutual reception to Mercury, who's combust. Kind of a powerful Venusian moment, a moment of transformation, but a moment of, in some ways, hardship. So then we have Mercury continuing to, at that point, get closer to the actual Kazemi. After the eclipse, I would imagine that it's probably later in October that we start getting the feeling of, you know, Venusian things sort of turning the corner for the better. For example, it's after this moment around October 20th when Mercury has cleared the Kazemi. They're still in mutual reception. And then we get exactly after that on October 22nd, then we have the 21st into the 22nd, Venus trines Jupiter. And this trine to Jupiter is kind of, in my mind, this is kind of with a positive turning point for Venus in the sign of Virgo. The mutual reception is clouded a little bit by the combustion that Mercury's going through. So it's not like the most helpful thing in the world. That Mercury clears, goes over the face of the sun, transitions into Scorpio, and immediately Venus hits the trine to Jupiter. Get the feeling like it's probably the 20th to the 22nd that we start seeing Venus really get lighter and a little bit easier. All Venusian things, of course, signified here would be friendship, sisters, women, art, aesthetics, beauty, sensuality, sexuality, and so forth. Well, the other thing, of course, is that we are going to get a another eclipse. And this one is, to my mind, a little bit, again, like a little lighter. Like it feels to me like a kind of breakthrough moment for Venusian things. The early part of the month feels hard for Venusian things. The later part feels better. Here's a lunar eclipse in Taurus that happens around October 28th. Now, by that time, again, you've got Mercury in better condition, who is the host of Venus. That's good. Even if the mutual reception is gone, I still like that Mercury's not combust as it rules Venus and Venus is so debilitated herself. Then you get, again, you have Venus having gone through the trine to Jupiter. You get a lunar eclipse on the 28th in Venus's sign. And at that point in time, the lunar eclipse is an exalted moon in Taurus, which is really nice. And then you also have the application of the moon to Jupiter. And then you have Venus applying within 3 degrees to a trine with Uranus. I like this because, again, it feels like, okay, there's kind of a heavy Venusian signature this month. But as the month goes on from like the 20th forward, things are getting a lot better. The second eclipse looks a little lighter and comes with that signature of Venusian breakthrough, which will take us into November a little bit. But once you see, here's like on the October 30th to 31st, you have Venus trine to Uranus. That trine to Uranus, again, signifies to me a kind of a moment of breakthrough. I like that because the lunar eclipse is really, all lunar eclipses have that signification of things reaching their completion or resolution or fullness. And then right as that's happening, you see that Venus goes through a trine to Uranus and you get the feeling of breakthrough, of kind of a moment of celebration or victory or things becoming clearer or easier. At that point in time, Venus is ruled by a Mercury that's also getting greater and greater distance from the sun, which again, I think the more that you see Mercury undergo the positive transformation into the evening star position, the better it is for Venus. Well, then finally, Venus is going to also go through a kind of interesting opposition to Neptune. I personally am not, Venus opposite Neptune can be very positive and interesting. I don't think this is the worst transit in the world. We'll have some things to be aware of around this time at the beginning of November. But then Venus goes through the trine to Pluto. And then immediately we get Venus by about November 8th popping into Libra, where she picks up dignity again. And you know, at that point in time, I really think that this kind of heavy signature around Venus has lifted. So if I had to go backward in time, the hardest thing is that we start with an opposition. So let's go back in time and just go kind of back Venus up through all of this and map it out once more from start to finish. So we start with the kind of difficult signature of Venus entering Virgo, being in her fall, being in mutual reception with Mercury, but Mercury's combust. And then we get the hard opposition to Saturn. Now, I'm going to talk more about Saturn and Venus in a minute so that we can prepare for that because it's happening today and tomorrow. But then Venus rolls forward, gets out of that opposition, and the 14th rules that eclipse, the solar eclipse. Now it's in mutual reception with a combust Mercury. So you know, it's like there's something that's trying to get done or worked out, a diplomatic solution or something like that. The harmony is being sought, but it's hard to come by. And it's going to take a little doing. And then as Venus goes on, right around the 20th, Venus starts getting into trine to Jupiter as Mercury goes through the heart of the sun. And this is really a turning point where things ought to start getting a little bit lighter. And then we have the trine to Jupiter around the 22nd. Mercury has now gotten out from is in front of the sun. And then we're going forward and we get going to the 28th. We have a lunar eclipse in Taurus with Jupiter, and we have Venus going into the trine with Uranus, this kind of Venusian breakthrough moment. I like that moment for Venus a lot. And then if you kind of take it forward through a couple more aspects, but then by November 8th, Venus has picked up dignity and gone into the sign of Libra. I think we have, therefore, you know, a little over a month worth of some hard times for Venus. I think generally they're all getting better from October 20th through the end of October, with that second eclipse on the 28th being, I think, a very positive turning point for Venus, because after that, again, Venus hits the trine to Uranus. And then between then and early November, Venus is going to be moving into better dignity. So let's go back to where we are today, though, because that's kind of this big picture story about Venus that for some of you may be very overwhelming. And so let's just go back and kind of keep it simple today with our Venus opposite Saturn. So what are some of the things that Venus opposite Saturn can represent between, say, today and middle of this week? One of the things that can come up is going to be heartache, heartbreak, limitations, difficulties, obstacles, frustrations, in love and relationships. Venus hits Saturn and she gets a no. Venus hits Saturn and she gets a prohibition. She gets something that is limiting or blocking or restraining. Venus hits Saturn and mobility is limited. Freedom is limited. On the other hand, Venus hits an opposition to Saturn and greater maturity is somehow accessed. Greater discipline or seriousness, or you know, Venus needs to conserve, protect, create better boundaries. Those are great significations for Venus and Saturn, where there is more maturity, effort, boundaries, and seriousness. Venus Saturn brings it. Where there's need for deep commitment, lasting and abiding commitment to be with someone through thick and thin, till death do us part. You know, Venus opposite Saturn can be actually the picture of a marriage vow. Vows are very serious things. They're commitments that we make. And, you know, I always think about, you know, like you watch a Game of Thrones or Vikings or Outlander. At a different time in history, I suspect that vows and oaths and giving your word meant more. And it's probably, I think it could also have been punished more severely. So at any rate, that might be a Saturnian thing as well, sort of punitive with oaths and vows. But the point is that Venus and Saturn has the feeling of what we love and what we're willing to take seriously. It's the kind of cross that you have to bear, that you must be willing to bear if you're going to do anything that to you is of enduring beauty and value. So Venus opposite Saturn has this built-in opportunity for things to become sort of more adult, more mature, more serious. More is required of us, and we're ready to take that step forward. It can signify late life love, falling in love with someone older. It can signify challenges between younger women and older women, where Venus opposite Saturn is like a picture of youthfulness and like a maiden versus kind of a crone image, or the shift from maiden to mother that requires a kind of dying to the single and less, you know, not less mature, but I want to say like you're not expected to do as much. There's like more responsibility, changing stages or moving from a position of relative freedom, kind of a picture of like a youthful unmarried, you know, or like unwed, or even, you know, a woman without children transitioning into a phase of life where she might have those things which are beautiful, but come with certain limits and responsibilities. It's also about how to remain free, innocent, pure, while also carrying something that's heavier or more burdensome. It's about social hurt and loneliness and isolation and pain, feeling heartache or heartbreak. And it's also about the way in which heartache, heartbreak, or very, very unavoidable social bottom lines transform us and make us more selective or careful about who we spend our time with or who is worthy of our valuable time. So Venus opposite Saturn in the air today, tomorrow, the next day, kind of just pay attention to that, the opportunities it's providing us for greater growth and wisdom. And also the don't be surprised if it's a little harder, if you find that things are a little bit more strained or you're hitting like hard points of opposition in relationships, what seem like insurmountable boundary or obstacles or like boundaries. I'm here, you're there. Watch for those things to slowly fade as the month goes on. Remember, Mercury is in mutual reception in Libra. So there's an attempt to do something diplomatic here, to find balances in priorities, needs, duties, values. But it's a month that's going to take a lot of doing with that kind of stuff. We have an eclipse in Libra, Venus's sign. We have Mercury going through combustion and emerging as the evening star, gradually ruling that fallen Venus. We have Venus ruling both eclipses. It's not until a little bit later in the month, around the 20th, that you start to see Venus hitting a trine to Jupiter. Venus ruling an eclipse in Taurus that has an exalted moon in Jupiter, and then Venus hitting the trine to Uranus late in the month. Those things ought to help us turn a corner, because around that time, Mercury ruling Venus will also emerge from under the beams of the sun, start coming out as the evening star. So, you know, just keep all of that in mind, that there's an arc, a story arc this month about working things out diplomatically, finding harmony, having it take a little while to do so. And then, you know, it's eclipse season too, right? So give Venus time to go through a transformation. This is a Venus that is going to feel sort of like a stark contrast to where we've been too, because we've been in like Venus and Leo land forever, where there was a nice square to Jupiter. It's a little different. The trine to Jupiter is nice. The dignity is challenging. The opposition to Saturn starts off with some challenges. We'll be working them out by the end of the month and seeing a very different Venus by early November. So I hope that this has been both useful on the macro and also more specifically getting into Venus and Saturn here at the end. Hope you guys will have a great day today, a great start to your week. Tell your stories. If you have a good story to share, use the hashtag grabbed and then tell us the transit Venus opposite Saturn. Tell us your story. If you prefer, you could email it to us, grabbed@nightlightastrology.com. Might be putting a storytelling episode together here pretty soon. All right, that's it for today. Take it easy, everyone. Bye.